Welcome to another Stock Market Media Group CEO interview. As part of a series to keep investors informed, we invite executives to tell their company's story. So sit back, listen in, and let's meet today's guest.
And thank you for joining us for another installment of our CEO interview series. Today's guest is the COO of Nuvolix Inc., Dr. Gerald Crabtree. Now, Nuvolix trades on the OTC market under the ticker symbol NVLX, and we have a number of topics we'd like to cover today with Dr. Crabtree, including the company's recent restructuring, the company's acquisition of some cell encapsulation technology, as well as dive into a few questions about the upcoming clinical trials. So, without any further ado, we'll dive right in. And Dr. Crabtree, if you could, first, speaking of the aforementioned restructuring, tell us a little bit about what brought that about and where the company is moving forward.
The shift into the biotech was a major shift in the company's direction. For years, since its founding, it was a nutraceutical company. But over the years, the profit margin from the nutraceutical products has dwindled. And we got to a point where we had to make this shift. Really, what made the decision for us was the ability to acquire the live cell encapsulation technology that can serve as a platform upon which treatments for various types of cancer and diabetes can be built. And with the acquisition of that technology, it became readily apparent that this was going to be a full-time job and that all of the resources of the company would have to be directed in that area. So what's happened with the nutraceuticals is we still have the formulations and the names for those products, but we will no longer be manufacturing them or marketing them, again, because of the dwindling profit margins from those products. So in the future, we will seek buyers for those products. But we are now solely and will be from now on a biotech company.
Turning to the acquisition, what does this acquisition of the exclusive worldwide licenses that are associated with the live cell encapsulation platform technology that will allow you guys now to develop treatments for any and all cancer types, what does this mean to the company and its future?
It's the major focus of our future. And it's just opened so many doors for the company, for the development of treatments for the diseases you mentioned. I've been 45 years in the cancer business. I've been everywhere from laboratory bench research, animal research, clinical trials, and drug development with academia and small and large biotech companies, as well as a major pharmaceutical company. And I can tell you from my experience in seeing many drugs developed over the years for various forms of cancer, that I have never, in my opinion, seen anything with the potential that this technology has. It is a novel and unique way to treat cancer and to target cancers with chemotherapy. Now, for several years, the big deal in cancer has been targeted chemotherapy. Prime examples. First, a drug called Herceptin that's targeted towards a particular type of breast cancer. And that drug, developed by Genentech, is almost a $2 billion a year drug, which is not insignificant in the area of cancer. And that's just one of many examples. But I feel that our technology, or this live cell encapsulation-based technology, is the vehicle, if you will, the bullet that we can use to target the treatment of certain cancers.
And in your opinion, why has this specific cell encapsulation technology been so successful whenever it has been put to the test?
There's several reasons for it, I believe. First of all, in both human pancreatic cancer trials, phase 2 studies, mid-phase studies, and in animal studies, essentially the same type of study but done in a veterinary setting, through the use of the technology, when the studies were done, the people doing the studies were able to use well-known anti-cancer drugs at very reduced dosages. That's number one. Number two, the results that were obtained in those clinical studies, let's talk about the pancreatic cancer phase 2 studies. They were better than anything that exists even today, and that includes the most recently approved combination of two drugs for the treatment of pancreatic cancer. And those studies that I spoke of, those phase 2 studies that were done with the technology that we now have licensed, those studies were done back in the early 2000s. So in the intervening 13 years, the data are still better. But you can't compare an old study with a new study. You have to compare apples to apples in the same study. And that's why we have to progress now to a later phase clinical trial. You know, it's just that the entire treatment technology is so different. Here we have live cancer drug activating cells, and we implant them very close to the site of the tumor that we're looking at. We then take a cancer drug, and it's given normally, intravenously, in the two cases that I mentioned, the breast cancer study in animals and the pancreatic study in humans, and they're given intravenously. Now, normally what happens is these drugs go into the blood supply, pass through the liver, are activated in the liver, and then get dispersed throughout the body. Part of the drugs that get dispersed throughout the body, of course, finally get to the tumor. What we're doing is putting the activating factory or the activating agent right at the site of the tumor, so when the drug is injected intravenously, it will go, for instance, towards the pancreas and immediately be activated right next to where it needs to be activated. And therefore, we get maximum or optimal efficiency of the cancer drug. And that's why they were able to use one-third of the usual dose of the chemotherapeutic drug in the case of pancreatic cancer. That was an old, well-used, and widely used drug called ifosfamide that had to be activated to kill cancer cells. And therefore, in the study, not only were the effects against the cancer itself remarkable, the fact that there were absolutely, and I mean absolutely, no side effects from the drug itself or from the capsules being present. So the technology is very unique in that regard. And the second thing is, you don't have to keep re-implanting these capsules. They can survive in the body, intact, and protect the live cells inside them for more than 2 years. We know that from the human studies. And that, to me, is remarkable, and it sets this technology above even other types of cell encapsulation technology. So it's just so different and so unique that I am extremely excited. And I'm not the youngest guy on the block, but I'll tell you, I have never been more excited in my life. And I was very excited several times in my career, not the least of which is being project manager for Taxol in the early 90s, which was the number one drug development at Bristol-Myers Squibb at the time and was thought to be one of the most important cancer drugs to be approved in decades. So the hurdle for me was high, and this has surpassed that. In my opinion, the potential surpasses that greatly.
And Dr. Crabtree, it seems like maybe the success also has a lot to do with the science behind your technology.
The materials that are used by cell encapsulation companies, if you will, if you want to call them that, are usually biological in nature. Substances like alginate, which comes from seaweed, or chitosan. That's another example of a biologic substance. Now, these make fine capsules, but the problems arise because, number one, you must purify them exhaustively because you cannot use a biologic material that's not purified because you're bringing along bacteria, viruses, whatever, you name it. The second thing is it's pretty apparent from the studies that have gone on with these other materials that they're okay for a while in the body, but then they start to degrade. The capsules start to degrade. So the cells become open to, again, immune system attack. Then you have to supply immunosuppressive drugs again. And then you have to re-inject the capsules again. And the cycle continues and continues. Our cell encapsulation differs in a major, and I mean major way. And that is because encapsulating material that we use is based on cellulose. It starts with cellulose sulfate, which is just a simple chemical, if you will. It's not a biological material. We don't have to do exhaustive purifications with it. And the capsules are made in a way that the solution of cells are suspended in this cellulose sulfate type solution, and then they go through a machine and they drop into another solution that contains a different chemical mixture. And when the two come together, immediately the capsules start to form from the outside inwards, immediately. And we're talking small capsules here. Pinhead-sized capsules result. They're very uniform in structure. They're like little round balls. And each capsule, depending on the type of cell, can contain around 10,000 cells. And the capsules are so permeable to normal nutrients in the blood that they nourish the cells inside. The cells inside can grow and divide and eventually fill the capsule up with functioning cell. And these cellulose capsules are essentially, and the term is bioinert in the body. They can exist for extended periods of time. You remember I said more than 2 years in pancreatic cancer human clinical trials? And even after 2 years, those capsules have not degraded in any way. They have not irritated the tissue around them in any way, and the cells inside them are still fully alive and functioning. So they have a much longer half-time than the other types. Immunosuppressive drugs are never needed. This technology can use different types of cells without any kind of major modification or going through a whole new development process. And I can't say that that's true for other types of cell encapsulation materials. Again, we use cellulose sulfate to start with. It's very simple, and it's easy to use.
For those new investors out there that are not familiar with Nuvolix, or maybe even pancreatic cancer, the seriousness of it, maybe walk us through the current drugs that are on the market and where your numbers stack up against those.
The first drug that was approved for the treatment of advanced pancreatic cancer was Gemzar, and the generic name of that is gemcitabine. That was approved in 1996. The next drugs approved for advanced pancreatic cancer were not approved until 2005. So that's, 9 years. Tells you the difficulty in treating the disease. Many, many trials were done in that intervening period, but nothing was really successful. What was approved in 2005 was the combination of gemcitabine, again Gemzar, plus another drug called Tarceva. And that was approved in 2005, that combination. Just this year, a new Celgene drug was approved for the treatment of advanced pancreatic cancer. The drug's name is Abraxane. It is actually Taxol, the drug I worked on at Bristol-Myers Squibb, but in a different formulation. But it has to be used in combination with Gemzar again. So everything's based on Gemzar. But Gemzar plus Abraxane combination is now considered first-line therapy, or the gold standard, if you will, for the treatment of advanced pancreatic cancer. And none of those, if you just look at the data, now granted the trials necessary to approve a drug are much larger in scope than our phase 2 studies were, but nevertheless, if you just look at the basic data, the data that were achieved using now Nuvolex's pancreatic cancer treatment back in the 2000s still exceed the data achieved with Gemzar plus Tarceva, or with Gemzar plus Abraxane. And Abraxane, people at the FDA were excited about the Gemzar plus Abraxane combination, and it was fast-tracked for approval. It took the FDA 6 months to approve it, and it usually takes them more than a year, year and a half. So that's the area we're in. Pancreatic cancer is one of the most difficult to treat. It is one of the most deadly cancers. And even so, let me tell you this, just to pinpoint the data, Gemzar plus Abraxane had a median survival time of 8.7 months. We have bettered that in the phase 2 studies that were done back in the early 2000s, out to 11 months. In terms of percentage of one-year survivors, Gemzar plus Abraxane, the current gold standard, 18 or 19%. In the phase 2 studies done in 2000 with our cell encapsulation technology, 36, 38%. So it's double. So you tell me, if we can reproduce the same type of data and that difference with an extended study, a phase 3 trial, if you will, you think the FDA and other people aren't going to be jumping up and down about this stuff? That's pretty simple.
So to advance the conversation to those late-stage clinical trials, what is it that Nuvalix will have to prove in its future clinical trials?
Well, what we will have to do in these phase 3 trials is to do a study in which approximately half the patients will receive our treatment, in other words, the cell encapsulation plus the cancer drug ifosfamide, and the other half of the patients will receive gemcitabine or gemcitabine Abraxane. And in that way, you're using the same patient population for both, we call them arms of the study, and they're being done at the same time. They will be done in such a nature that the doctors and the patients will not know who's getting what, and therefore, when the data are analyzed, we have a direct statistical significance in comparison between our treatment and the best available therapy or the treatment that we choose to test it against. And that's the way the trial will be designed to go. It is not an easy process. It will be done in several countries and more or less simultaneously. But, that's the way phase 3 trials are done. And you do them to use enough patients to give you statistical significance between the two arms, depending on what your endpoints in the study are. And of course, our endpoints will include median survival and one-year survival rate. There may be a couple of other ones, secondary endpoints, but initially that's what our thoughts are.
What should shareholders make of the two recent press releases, one regarding Fisher Bioservices and the storage of cells, and then two, the InnoBiologics press release, which will deal with the cloning of cells?
What this cements is that the process towards our phase 3 trials is fully underway. The company is fully committed. These two developments represent the first really major steps on what's going to be a long journey to completion of phase 3 trials, but they're absolutely critical and absolutely necessary, and the fact that we've taken them should illustrate the company's commitment.
Well, these are certainly exciting times at Nuvalix, and with these two steps already underway, what are some future steps or hurdles that we can expect to see coming out of the company on the road to these future clinical trials?
The first step we've taken, if you want, is the InnoBiologic step, where this is the first company, a GMP, an FDA-compliant facility, that will take the drug-activating cells for a pancreatic treatment and do the initial steps in growing up enough cells that we have to do the entire phase 3 study. The Fisher contract deals with storage of critically important cells under frozen liquid nitrogen conditions. And that's a safety net, if you will, for the company. Just in case anything goes wrong in the overall process, we can go back there and take some cells out of frozen storage and store them up. And this will be done at least three different sites, geographical sites around the world, so that we always are secure. We can always have a fallback position. So there's two things that have happened already. Now, what else will be done? We are already speaking with organizations called clinical research organizations. Some people call them contract research organizations. And these are multinational companies with experience in running and setting up and managing clinical trials in oncology and specifically pancreatic cancer. And by working with them, they will help us develop a lot of the steps necessary before the clinical trial starts, and that includes development of a clinical protocol or a cookbook, if you want, for how the clinical trial will be run. They will help us in meeting with regulatory authorities because we will have to do this. We will meet with them to discuss the protocol, to discuss the clinical strategy, to discuss the production of our encapsulated cells, how it's done, and things like that. They will help us with all that stuff. They will help us identify study sites around the world and investigators in those study sites and help us hold investigator meetings. There's a lot of little steps that need to be taken, but I don't look at them as hurdles. They're just necessary steps.
You mentioned study sites in your response, so my next question is, where will some of these study sites be, and will there be any sites here in the United States?
Our plans currently are to do it overseas, in Australia, in Asia, and maybe Europe, but we will have to do study sites at some point in the U.S. That is a given, and we fully know that, and we fully expect, and not only expect, but we will interact with the FDA as we go along.
Okay, great. Well, one final question. With the recent acquisition of the cell encapsulation technology and given the close relationship that Nuvalix and SG Austria seem to have, what will SG Austria's role be in the future clinical trials?
We have a unique relationship with SG Austria. Dr. Bob Ryan, who's the CEO of Nuvalix, has known principals in SG Austria for several years. And that relationship helped get us the live cell encapsulation technology for cancer. They are, right now, as we speak, they are supplying the initial cancer drug activating cells to InnoBiologics so that InnoBiologics can do the initial steps in the expansion of the cells to get the right numbers of cells for the clinical trial. But more importantly, the principals in that company, Drs. Gunsberg and Thamen, have worked for years in developing the cellulose-based cell encapsulation technology, in not only developing it, but in maturing it, and having it done according to good manufacturing practices standards, which GMP, which is a requirement for all regulatory agencies. SG Austria will be doing the cell encapsulation in a GMP facility. They will do the cell encapsulation for us for the late-phase clinical trials. So they will be intimately involved in the process. And why not? They know it better than anybody else. They can foresee any problems happening before they happen. And where could you get better people to do it? They are extremely committed to this, and they're committed to it because they spent a large part of their life developing it, and they want to see it come to fruition just like I do.
Dr. Crabtree, as usual, it is a pleasure to speak with you. It's great to learn more about your company. It's certainly exciting to hear about the steps that are going on at Nuvalix on the road to future clinical trials. It is also exciting to hear the excitement that you have about the upcoming clinical trials and the cell encapsulation technology and the acquisitions that you guys have made over there. So once again, this has been Dr. Gerald Crabtree. He is the COO of Nuvalix Inc., trades under the ticker symbol NVLX on the OTC market. It is an OTCQB stock. And we thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this interview, and we hope you'll return for many, many more.
This has been another Stock Market Media Group CEO interview. Keep listening as executives continue to tell their story and investors stay informed on the companies they own right here on StockMarketMediaGroup.com.